I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you everyone who's been involved participating in this service. And of course, all of you are at home with your prayers and singing, and now in terms of listening. And it's great that we can spend time together like this, pondering themes like joy. And of course, joy, you'd expect me to do a nice, happy sermon all about joy. But I just felt this week that this message may well be just for one or two. I don't know. Sometimes the Lord seems to lead us in a certain direction. So it may surprise you that we're reading from John 15 for a Christmas Advent-y type sermon. But the Lord knows, and hopefully he has it all in hand. I wonder if you've ever experienced or received some good news that sort of just gets your heart doing all sorts of strange things. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life. It's hard to describe, isn't it, joy? It's like that feeling, it sort of just jumps up and it lifts you. And if you experience this, it's sort of a bit overwhelming in terms of a feeling. It makes you smile, that great big smile, the smile you just can't get off the face. It just sort of stretches all the way across your face and you just can't help. You're bursting inside, bursting with joy. I wonder if you've ever experienced that kind of happiness bubbling up inside of you. I wonder what sort of news does that to you. I expect many of us have heard or received good news of someone being, a baby being born. That's of course a time of good news when we have that experience of joy, especially when it's your own child or someone's who you love and cherish is particularly joyful. Yesterday we celebrated 8 years ago that Zoe was born to us, our first child, and that joy that you receive when you first see your first child is overwhelming. But you know, whenever there's a baby born, it's a joyful occasion. We feel joy, and people around us share in that joy from the good news of hearing of this new child. Luke wrote this in his record of Jesus's life. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The good news that the angel brought to the shepherds was good. A baby had just been born. But it was also so much greater. Not only had a baby been born, but the baby, the Savior, had been born. The Lord, God's chosen one. God's chosen Savior had been born, had actually arrived. This was no longer just a prophecy or a wish. This had happened. He has arrived. That is great news. And it's great news not just for the parents, Mary and Joseph. This is great news for everyone. If the Savior, the promised one, has arrived, that's great news for not just the parents, not just the immediate family, not just the immediate community, but everyone. Good news for all the people. Now, what will this great news cause? Well, the angel tells us it causes great joy. This news is good news. Christmas is good news that causes great joy. Joy for all the people. Jesus' arrival is such good news that if you read earlier on in Luke, even before the birth of Jesus, even before the arrival of this child, Elizabeth, as she hears Mary arriving for a visit, the baby inside of her, who is John the Baptizer, you remember, leapt inside of her for joy. And Elizabeth shouted out, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Mary sings, of course, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." When good news arrives, it causes great joy. Many of us will look back at a time in our own lives when we first heard the good news of Jesus. I wonder how long ago that was for some of you. Years, maybe even decades ago. When we first heard that God loves us, that he so loves us that he sent his only son to come and rescue us. And out of his overflowing love for us, he gave us the most costly gift, the saving king, come to save us from our sin and the enemy, and to bring us into an entirely new realm, the realm of his kingdom, so that we can share in his life with him and in him. We responded to that good news, do you remember? Think back to that time, with great joy. We were eager, committed, devoted in our lives. Our response to his love is to align our entire lives to him. Our lives were filled, joyfully overflowing with joy because of Jesus. But what happened then? What happened? Where has the joy gone? Has this news become old for us? Has the fact that it's no longer new caused the joy to fade? Or has the news lost its goodness? Do we no longer see it as good? Is that why it no longer brings joy to us? Or have we changed? In the challenges of ordinary life, have we grown cold, cynical, hardened by the trials and the difficulties of life, the disappointments and the hurts through many years? Or have we been tricked into pursuing cheap, temporary joy elsewhere? Are we satisfying our need, our thirst for joy with what is temporary rather than that which is eternal? We read from Isaiah earlier, where there are frequent references to deserts and water, a picture of our thirst for joy in the dry heat of life. Has life become a desert for us? Dry, lifeless, parched. Where is the overflowing water of joy? When you look around the desert of life, where is this gushing, overflowing water of joy to be found? Are we just wandering from one small pool to another, like the psalmists, like the prophets, like all people everywhere? Our souls, our hearts, our entire beings crave the abundant, overflowing water of eternal joy. We have tasted the water at least once, the eternal joy, caused by us receiving that good news. But where has that joy gone? Where is it now? As we've been going through the Advent series these last weeks, leading us into a time of celebration at Christmas, we've looked at hope, peace, love, and although we've muddled up the weeks a bit, it makes a great deal of sense for joy to follow love. Because that is exactly what Jesus reveals to us. Perhaps most clearly in the passage we read from John chapter 15, Jesus tells his followers that he loves them, and that he loves them as much as God the Father loves him. And here Jesus pleads with us. You read these words that he's urging us to remain in that love that he has for us. Don't turn away from the love Jesus has for you. Don't make the mistake that Adam and Eve made, leaving and doubting God's love and hiding in fear, not knowing what God is like. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites made, doubting God's loving kindness and turning to other sources of love. Instead, remain in his love. And in case we don't know what it means to remain in his love, in case we don't know how to respond to the good news of his love for us, he tells us exactly what it means. Jesus tells us to keep his commands. That's how we remain in his love. To remain in Jesus' love is to keep his commandments. And in case we're unclear on what he commands, what commands he's referring to, he tells us again. My command is this, Jesus says. Love each other. How? As I have loved you. God's love for you has been fully revealed. How? In Jesus coming to rescue the world, Emmanuel, God with us. How can I know God's love for me? Remain in Jesus' love for you. How do I remain in Jesus' love for me? Keep Jesus' commands. What is it that Jesus commands? Love each other as he has loved us. But why? 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 Why love? Well, it's for joy. Because of joy. We all long for joy, not just in the church. The world yearns for joy. We all have a deep desire, a longing, a need for joy. We were made for joy. Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be complete in you. And that your joy may be complete, that idea of completeness, shalom, peace. Remember we considered a couple of weeks ago? Completeness of joy. So now our ears should be alert, eager to hear. How do we gain Jesus's everlasting, overflowing joy? Notice that Jesus wants us. He wants us to know the way that brings joy. He's not hiding it. He's not telling us these things to make our lives more difficult. He's not hiding anything from us. He did not come to show us God's love for us so that we can remain lost, searching around through broken vessels and vain, hoping to find some thirst-quenching drops. Jesus came to bring joy to the world. And he demonstrated how joy is experienced for ourselves, and not just ourselves, but for all those around us. It is by loving each other. Loving each other is obedience to Jesus' commands. Loving each other is the means by which we remain in Jesus' love. Loving each other is the way to obtain everlasting joy. Jesus knows that the effect of good news can dwindle, can fade over time. And so he tells us how to rediscover that joy, how to tap into the never-ending fountain of joy. Will we believe Jesus' command? Will we believe him when he says, this is the way to experience joy? Yes, his commands are challenging at times, but these commands are not given in order to rob us of joy, but so that we may gain his joy and that it would be made complete in us. Will we trust what Jesus is telling us? So if you want to receive that joy this Christmas, look at the love God has for you. Replicate that love towards each other. And in our lives, we will be filled with joy. Why love? Love gives us joy. Joy everlasting. Why is joy our goal? It's not just that we all long for it. It's not just that we all thirst for it. It's not just for happiness and fulfillment. It is all those things, but it is also that when we are joyful, God is glorified. Did you know that? Did you know that God is glorified when we are joyful? Verse 8 said, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The joy that we crave is also the fruit that brings glory to the Father. It is win-win. God is glorified. We are satisfied. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus came to make both those things possible in joy. In order for God to be glorified, Jesus' joy has to be made complete in us. Our joy must be made complete. And the only way that that is possible is for us to hear the good news that causes great joy, which is why other people need to hear it. Come to a knowledge that God loves him, which is why other people need to come to that knowledge. And by knowing that, we trust in him and we obey him by loving each other as Jesus commands. Joy is completed in Jesus and completed in us. And so God is glorified. If we ever want a reason for anything, that's the reason to pursue anything. glorification of God. So if we are here this morning and that joy we once had has now dried out, what should we do? John 7 says this, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. Do you believe that this morning? Whoever believes in him, that river will flow through you. This Advent is a time to believe. Believe in what Jesus tells us to do in order to gain joy. And he tells us this, if we want to experience that joy in our lives, we must remain in Jesus' love by implementing our trust in his commands, by doing what he tells us to do, which is to love each other. Notice all of this. The Trinity has a role to play in joy. Did you notice? The Holy Spirit is the one sent to grow joy within us by working in our spirits. Jesus came to demonstrate and teach us the way of joy. God the Father is glorified when we are filled with what? With joy. When we are full to bursting with joy. If you want to glorify God, be filled with joy. And so as Paul the Apostle said in his joy-filled letter to the Philippians, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Why is he telling us that? Because it gives glory to God. He says, and again I will say it. He's repeating himself, rejoice. So the question is, will you respond as Mary did? Saying, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.